Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
They're going to blow for full time right there.
It's time for a look back on today's match.
This is the Full Time Report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore.
On Star 94, Feel Good Throwbacks.
Welcome on into the Full Time Report. It's Abe Gordon, John Nelson of Soccer Down here. Atlanta United has dropped another one at home. This one in Nashville SC, the top team in the Eastern Conference in MLS. 2-0, and John, this was an interesting match. I'll be honest, I came in with quite low expectations based on what we know Nashville to be, what we have seen Atlanta United to be, but there were opportunities in this match that could have swung it in Atlanta United's favor. Unfortunately, and this is the problem that has been kind of creeping up on Atlanta United more and more often, just don't know how to finish a goal here, and so once they got it into the second half, and two goals later, and Nashville SC wins this one 2-0. But for a while there, it looked like it was going to be a real competitive affair with Atlanta United potentially finding a way to get a result. Just wasn't the case.
Yeah, you look at the first 30 minutes, and the pressure was there for Atlanta United. The press was there for Atlanta United, creating opportunities offensively. You just couldn't, you know, get the ball in the back of the net, which is a phrase we've been saying a lot this season. But you had the control, and you were forcing Nashville into making a lot of, in their own mind, unpopular decisions. And they weren't able to have any real sustained possession, and it was just that you weren't able to do anything after the fact. You get
that's
the ball back,
the problem.
And then you weren't able to finish the drill after you got possession away from Nashville. And Nashville was getting frustrated, but once, you know, that as Mike and Jason were talking about on the other side of the break here, as they were wrapping up the game coverage, Nashville, they were pretty much waiting it out. It's like,
baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's key.
...able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Kenan Thompson. Buy your car online on Auto Trader. Really.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
You survive that first wave of 30 minutes. You get into the halftime. You could sense that Nashville, I want to say 37th, 38th minute, you had the back-to-back corners that almost created an opportunity for them there to get their first goal on. But it took basically just a launch from one of your center backs to send it over the net, and then the second corner was disposed of by the defense. But from there, basically 35th minute on, you look at the map, and then there were times in the second half early on where Atlanta United was trying to press the issue to try to get that first goal on the board. First handful of minutes, they had the control. Then it went back to Nashville for the majority of the time that included the two goals. And then when you're up two goals, obviously you can kind of just sit on it at that point. But first 30, then Nashville took care of it for the final 60 with a couple of different elements in there. But yeah, at the end of the day, you end up with the 2-0 result.
The bottom line is you have to make teams pay when you're getting the better of the performance. And if you're one of the teams that is looking for a counter, then when you have those moments, then you have to deliver in that situation. But Atlanta United was in the attacking third, up and down at various times throughout this match, and there just doesn't seem to be much of a real threat. And that's the largest problem here. And look, I went on your podcast, Soccer Down Here, on Mondays.
And you do every Monday, and I give you full credit for that.
And I was not happy this past Monday.
Well, you're not in a minority opinion, though.
No, and the large extent of my point is I don't know how this team scores goals. And I think even when you get the better run of play for a large stretch, and again, it's not a four-minute stretch here. It's not, hey, for these 180 seconds or 240 seconds, you look like a team that could have scored. No, these are percentages of games here that you are against the top team in the Eastern Conference, the better side. You don't deliver there, and then when it flips and they deliver, mm-hmm. that's where you run into problems. And so in this one, you do fall 2-0. Quick look at some of the numbers here. Atlanta United, 11 shots. Nashville recorded 16. Shots on goal, 8-3. The Nashville XG, a very accurate 2. How about that?
Okay.
And the XG for Atlanta, 0.7. Had a couple of opportunities we have to break down at points in this match, but and I didn't write down the exact minute. The one that really hurts you, one in the first half, one in the second half. Latte Loth kind of got a ball through and made the keeper miss, takes it to his to the left, and he tries to get a left-footed bender in there, but it's just not able to get the right bend on it.
24th minute on that
24th,
one.
24th, yeah. I'm going to write that down here. Yeah. That one goes into the side netting. That was a frustrating one. Later in the match, Alexi Maranchuk kind of gets a weird loose ball in the center of the box. Unfortunately, hits it right at the goalie. Took a really big hit on the backside of releasing that shot.
Don't even get me started on the big hit aspect of all of this stuff, because that's probably a full-time report on its own.
Yeah, I had some questions about that one.
Sure, that's fine. Absolutely.
Look, the Latte Loth one hurts.
I mean, eventually it was called offside, but I understand your point.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it was eventually with the steal that he had that goes into the side netting. It was a sharp angle.
Oh, that one. Yes, yeah, I thought you meant the Maranchuk.
No. The 24th minute with Latte Loth, it was a steal, and then he hits it into the side netting. Obviously, it was a tight angle for Schwaki. Schwaki had the near post covered. but it was eventually called offside. But the point stands where you take advantage of a situation, and the pressing, as we talked about in the first 30 minutes, was there for Atlanta United. And you're getting the ball away from Nashville. You're creating opportunities. And like I said, I know that eventually the offside flag goes up on that one on the 24th, but the point still stands is that pressure created chances for you that you weren't able to take advantage of.
Well, it's probably not going to be Latte Latha's man of the match, so no. Who else do we have among the other 10 players tonight?
Well, let's see. We went with a field player this time. We went with Tomas Jakob, and rated 7.1 from SofaScore. He was the highest-rated position player on the night. Lucas Oyo's rated a 7.7 because of six saves and everything.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Thing else that he did between the sticks to keep the score what it was. Jakob, 6 defensive contributions, 1 tackle on the night, 3 clearances, a block, 6 recoveries, 4-for-4 on his ground duels on the night, and that's just the defensive numbers from Tomas Jakob. Then you see him when he jumps into the play and he's part of the offense, which is what Tata Martino wants you to do. 36 of 41 passing, connected on 2 crosses, had 2 key passes on the night as well, connected on 4 of 5 long balls. So the effort was there from Tomas Jakob as he was coming forward, which is what Tata Martino is looking for from his back line at times. And so we give it to Tomas Jakob this evening for Man of the Match.
Well, that is his 3rd Man of the Match of the season. He also recorded that award in our first 2 games of the year 2-0 losses to Cincinnati. There's something about Hakob and 2-0 losses. We've only lost by that scoreline three times this year.
And
man of the match.
And Tomas Hakob was
on him. I think sample size is just a little bit coincidental. That is now his third man of the match this season, though. There's a number of players all tied with one.
Yeah. He also had a progressive carry on 74 touches, too.
So there you go. All right, when we come back, we'll take a look back at the highlights. We'll talk a little bit more about Latte Loth, because unfortunately, not only did he not get it done offensively, kind of cost you one going back the other way. We'll detail what happens. We'll also let you hear it when we get to the highlights. That's coming up on the other side. It is the full-time report. Abe Gordon, John Nelson of Soccer Down here, live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Star 94.
Getting back to the full-time report.
Full time.
On Star 94, feel good throwbacks.
Welcome on back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the full-time report. It's Abe Gordon, John Nelson here. Of soccer down here. Atlanta United falls to Nashville SC 2-0. They're going to remain in first place in the Eastern Conference. A quick listen back to what took place out on the pitch today. These highlights brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. We play the first half scoreless, go into halftime, and for 15 or so minutes, it remains scoreless. But then a turnover just across midfield turns into a break for Nashville, and it is Christian Espinoza with the final touch in the 61st minute.
They'll send it to center spot to Moyamba, who passes above center circle. Here's Gregerson again, down the middle to Latte Lott. Ball rockets off of his first touch. Over to Mukhtar. Mukhtar now coming straight down the middle. Trouble here, Atlanta. 5-2. Mukhtar ahead to Espinoza. Shot, score. A sequence that started with a first touch that careened off Latte Lott 10 yards to a Nashville player, created a 5-on-2 break, and Nashville's got the 1-0 lead in the 62nd minute.
Atlanta United was then chasing for the next 30 minutes of this match here, trying to find an equalizer, but instead the goal, once again, was to Nashville, Shaq Muhammad, in stoppage time.
Moyamba trying to get there. It's centered. Oh, boy, here we go. Mukhtar and Muhammad coming straight down the middle against Jakob. Mukhtar into the box. And to Muhammad, shot, score. That's it. Atlanta United will lose yet again. And Shaq Muhammad, in his first appearance for Nashville, hits the nail in the coffin. Atlanta United about to suffer their sixth loss in eight matches. They have been completely outplayed since the 30-minute mark.
Yeah, look, I don't have as much of a problem with the second goal as you do the first.
Yeah, because you're chasing the game.
Exactly. You're obviously chasing. You're pushing forward, especially once you're in stoppage time. You're really getting forward, desperate, et cetera, et cetera. Some thoughts on Oyos on that one. I'll hold to myself. But
I think you just said what your thoughts.
He should
were.
Make that save. Sorry, wouldn't have mattered. You're trailing 1-0, but that's a save he should make. And I think he'll probably tell you that too. But in the 61st minute, the ball gets played to Latte Loth, and Nashville just strips it immediately. He gives it up way too easily. And in the aftermath, instead of trying to fight to get it back, he's calling for a foul. He's looking for anything but the turnover there. But it is a turnover. It goes the other way. And then, as you heard Mike say, the numbers there, 5-on-2.
Mm-hmm.
More often than not, when you have a guy that can start it like Mukhtar, it's going to end somewhere finding the right guy. And eventually it is. Christian Espinoza with the goal.
You picked him up in the offseason.
It's one thing if this is where I'm going to start to get real frustrated, John.
All right.
Going to get real frustrated. It's one thing if Latte Loth is having trouble scoring goals, moving forward, creating in the box. It's another thing entirely if an opponent's goal becomes as a result of his play.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to diagram that goal any different from Latte Loth has to do better, and that goal doesn't happen.
Well, in the first one where you have Latte Loth, I think that instead of he's dispossessed, he goes to his knees, and then at that point he is trying to call for a foul from his knees, when Alan Chapman in this match, he even went under his normal foul numbers for fouls called. Alan Chapman is dead last in Major League Soccer this year in fouls called per match. And he is dead last by 20% from next to last. So if fouls are not being called, and more fouls are being called on Atlanta United more than Nashville, and don't get me started on that because that's an entirely different segment. But if fouls aren't being called, I don't know why in that moment you would think that when you're being dispossessed that you would get a whistle, because literally I think you had, there was one player who was behind Latte Lott. I think it was Tristan, don't quote me. And Tristan, I think, took a beat when he sees Latte Lott go like this, when he sees Latte Lott, you know, try to lobby for a foul. That beat also hurt in the transition, because once that beat happens, pass goes past, and then it's the 5-on-2 going back the other way. And when you've got, as you said, when you have Mukhtar going down the middle of the pitch, and you have Christian Espinoza out to the right, and Espinoza, he had a lot of space around him because Atlanta United is obviously backtracking at that point, trying to make sure that there isn't a shot on target. So Espinoza has room, and then Lucas Hoyos is trying to come out to the best angle, and he had the middle third kind of shading to the near post covered, but Espinoza, as he's going, and Hoyos is kind of leaning to his left, he goes far post and gets it in the net. So Nashville, for anyone who hasn't seen Nashville, they are lethal in transition. This is what they do. And when you have B.J. Callahan with his philosophy of defense creating offense, and you get defense creating offense right at center line, that's not a whole lot of space where you have to navigate to come back and have an opportunity coming back the other way. That was a textbook Nashville opportunity, and they put it in the back of the net to make it 1-0.
Yeah, I was talking with Matty pregame, and I know Sam Surge wasn't available in this one, and I mentioned against Atlanta, it is, at least to me, John, felt more like Mukhtar gets you than Sam Surge over the past couple of years, and obviously not the final touch here, not the goal scorer, but primary assists on each of these two goals. He was a real problem today. There's nothing new there. But just thought we'd bring this up. Well, even without Surge, this is a dangerous national
squad. Well, what you're seeing now is with Hani Mukhtar, as he has, as he's become more of a veteran presence, he is not that goal scorer that we saw when he first came into the league. He is that guy that it's not really, it's not necessarily poaching, but he lurks. Literally, that's what he does. He will lurk at the back line and try to create opportunities quickly. So the goals aren't necessarily there, but now he's that distributor. He's the guy that's going to lurk and find Espinoza. He's going to lurk and find Surge. There's a reason Sam Surge is one of the leading goal scorers in Major League Soccer, is because he's getting fed by Hani Mukhtar, and you see what happens coming back the other way.
Well, that's most of it right now. I do have a couple players I want to ask you about specifically in regards to what we saw from Atlanta United here. And we hope to hear. I know Maddie and Jason are down there trying to get some sound there, so hopefully we'll get a couple of interviews coming here shortly. But he is John Nelson. I am Abe Gordon. The full-time report continues in 5 minutes here on Star 94.
Atlanta.
Back to the full-time report.
Full time.
On Star 94, feel good throwbacks.
Welcome back into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Abe Gordon and John Nelson on Star 94. Atlanta United falls to Nashville 2-0 in this one. Going to hear from Tristan Moyamba in our next segment, but a couple of performances I want to talk to you about, John, in this segment. And this first one is Matias Galarza. Obviously, there was the injury to Miguel Almiron midweek. He comes off after 26 or 27 minutes. It's a knee issue. Doesn't seem too seriously, but it's going to cost you at least two, maybe more games here with another game coming on Wednesday. And so there were some questions about what you're going to shape up and what you're going to do to replace him.
Right.
And again, you're dealing with a little bit of match compression, so you got to keep that in mind. Obviously, one more coming Wednesday. You're just coming off of one with Chattanooga. So what are you going to do to replace Miguel Almiron on the wing? The answer today was Matias Galarza, who had been playing midfield for you for the most part. It theoretically along the formation pushed up a little bit further. What did you see from him in his performance, and do you think there's a chance we see him given another shot, or did he not show you enough to want to maybe look elsewhere, one of the other players on the roster, certainly in midweek or next week if needed?
No, I mean, and I was looking it up in the break, and I just wanted to see if Matias Galarza has played in an advanced position like that. And he does have a couple of games under his belt where he has been left wing, and obviously we know him as the left side of the midfield in the attack. So, you know, I don't necessarily lock into the idea of players being in a formation. I've always thought formations to me are just kind of a loose construct.
I need to write something on the scorecard.
And that's the thing. It's it's like, okay.
It's where you start on kickoff. Right,
yeah, and it's like tweet, and okay, then things are different. And we've seen so far this season when Matias Galarza has started that he has advanced down the left-hand side, and he has basically turned into, you know, something akin to a second winger.
But often that's in a, I would say, more of an overlapping run at times than primary creator there.
But it does, you know, with his history having done that, I look it up and it's like, okay, it's not something that's completely and totally foreign. When you're engaged in an offensive rush, not necessarily something that is going to surprise, and we saw him in those advanced positions, but once again, just putting him into that particular position, you're dealing with the sum total of maybe a practice or two.
Yeah.
And trying to sit there and say, okay, I need someone up the left-hand side that I know can work up the left-hand side. Okay, Matias, this go round, I need you to play up a little higher, and then you're going to be the de facto left winger. So, you know, it's number of practices.
Yep.
We've seen it. He's been there before. It doesn't necessarily, you know, shake anything to where, you know, I'm rattled to my core over something.
Yeah, the other question is just going to be the match compression. Is this something you want to do again Wednesday, and maybe then he can't go Saturday? Is it something you want to switch up Wednesday and see how it works, and then maybe Wednesday, whatever, you know, take that into next Saturday. So a couple of questions. The other one is coming off a really strong performance against Chattanooga, with Galarza now pushed out of the midfield, in theory, based on formation.
Yes.
Jay Fortune now steps into the midfield. Really impressed with what he did against Chattanooga. But made the argument on his behalf, is probably a better way to say that, with Matty post-game Wednesday, that, hey, this is a guy that has shown something and deserves a shot. He gets a shot today. What did you see from Jay Fortune in his performance? And again, he is going to be dealing with match compression. He did put in a hard effort on Wednesday and again today.
Yeah, and so I think that if you look at Jay for New England, I will be intrigued to see what that looks like. But now Jay coming back on a quick turn with the minutes that he put in the Open Cup, coming in and playing 74 tonight before Saba comes in to give you fresh legs and try to have Nashville back on their heels. It's good to see Jay getting into this kind of a rhythm. He was in more of an offensive idea for Tata Martino tonight. And 20 and 23 passing. He had the one key pass on the night. He had the one long ball as well. But Jay was getting engaged in the play off the top, you know, as that one of the offensive-minded players that Tata wanted in there tonight. So for me, it's just good to see Jay continue to build minutes, build endurance, and understand what Tata is wanting him to do on any given night. Saw what he could do against Chattanooga, saw that he was frustrating Nashville tonight, and I'm over the next couple of days, I want to see what that looks like, obviously, how his recovery is going to be, getting you ready for New England in the midweek and then having to go up to Toronto. So you've got two more matches in a week's time, and how many minutes can Jay Fortune give you? That's the big question.
There's plenty of people for me to criticize.
You criticizing people?
Hey,
no.
Man. Well, another 2-0 defeat. We haven't scored in three MLS matches. There's some problems here. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really going to criticize Alexei Maranchuk. I'm a huge fan of his. But I do think he needed to do better. The one opportunity, the real opportunity he had there, we talked about it in the
78. The one where he got trucked from behind by Daniel Levitz?
He gets cracked after the ball's gone. He needed to do better with the shot. He hits it right to the keeper, and that is what it is.
I don't think getting cracked, which he did, impacted the shot, unfortunately. I'd like
to make
that argument.
Larger point to the evening on the whole. But.
So, again, not criticizing, but a little frustrating because I thought that was probably the best opportunity, and he's a high enough quality player. He's got enough skill that you've seen him do better than that, so that was a little bit unfortunate there.
And if you were to present that to Alexi, obviously Alexi would probably sit there and say he'd like to do better.
I think certainly if he watched it again, he'll be like, man, I got the shot off clean and I hit it right.
And I want those kind of guys. I want those kind of guys that have their heart on their sleeve, that are going to tell you what's going on, and that understand the gravity of the situation, and will let you know about it. And Alexi is a very, very thoughtful individual. And for him to go through this, you know, he understands. It's like, you know, just we just need a break.
Yeah.
Just give me a break. Just give the club a break somewhere in here, and we'll see where it goes. But no, I think he's one of your more thoughtful individuals. He's your point guard, and you know, just let him ride and see what happens.
You a big fan of Lucas Hoyos running out to the corner flag to pick up a yellow card?
Yeah. Look. South American keepers, and this is something that a lot of folks, you know, I have, and I thank Jason for this, I have been, over the last handful of years, been watching more South American soccer on streaming services than I probably ever have in my entire life. I understand that they're built a little differently. I understand that they are sweeper keepers. I understand that that they want to take care of situations on their own. So, for me, Lucas Hoyos, 30, 40 yards off his line. We see it with keepers in Major League Soccer all the time. And Lucas, by the way, in that play, he was covered. He had folks behind. You had four dudes in a very, very short amount of space. Basically, the length of this table, you and me, and if you put a third chair, that's about the amount of space that you had. The goal mouth was covered. The six was covered. I'm fine with it.
It was okay. I just found it funny. He was very clearly didn't have to continue chasing.
But
he chose to.
But in a heated game, in a heated situation where you're trying to prevent something from happening, you're gonna take the initiative yourself. Lucas Hoyos did that. He stuck with it.
Well,
so what? He got a foul.
No, it's fine. It was more funny than anything. There's always that concern as a goalie if you back off. Now you're no man's
Absolutely.
Land. You're no man's land because if this guy turns and can bend it and has an angle, that you're just stuck. And he didn't argue the card. I mean, he went right through the back of the guy, and that was that. So, I don't know, just trying to draw a little bit of humor from what was an otherwise frustrating night here.
Look, give me those guys that are going to dive in there and give you 100%. Doesn't matter the context of the moment. Doesn't matter what's going on at any given time. I want those guys that are going to give me 100%. Lucas Hoyos is giving you that.
Well, when we come back, we're going to hear from another, and that is Tristan Mwemba. Jason and Madison Cruz, Soccer Down Here, caught up with Tristan Mwemba earlier, just a couple minutes ago. So we'll let you hear what that had to say as well in about 5 minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Life's back to the full-time report.
Full time.
On Star 94, Feel Good Throwbacks.
Welcome back into the full-time report. Abe Gordon, John Nelson, also accompanied at times by Jason Longshore and Madison Cruz. They've been doing some work around the press conference rooms, and they had an opportunity to catch up with Tristan Mwemba after tonight's 2-0 loss.
Here in the locker room with Tristan Mwemba. Tristan, it felt like the first 30 minutes or so was really good, in control, and then it got away. What changed in your mind?
We start to lose the control. We start to maybe also they came to us more aggressively, and it was a good start. At some part of the game, we felt like we are in control and we could have hurt them, but we didn't, and the second half was 50-50, and then we have clear chances. And when you have opportunity, you have to take it and put the ball back in the net. They had one and they score, and then the game changed a little bit. And we are in a momentum where we have to stick together, stay together, and don't start to point each other or blame each other. Because at the end of the day, we still a team. and no one gonna solve the situation by himself. So we will need each one of us, and yeah.
It felt like the team got into the attacking third a lot tonight, maybe more than other matches this season, but couldn't find the dangerous chances out of it. And from your position, what are you seeing that kind of leads to that?
It's many things. Like I said, we are in the situation we are in the situation and nothing's going to be easy. So maybe we have to do like the extra effort, the extra run, everyone of us has to give a little bit more, and because the situation demands that. So that's the main thing, I think, for me. So yeah.
All right, that was Tristan Mwemba. You were also monitoring, John, Tata Martino's post-game press conference. We got a couple of minutes in before we had to get back to doing the show here, but yes. What did you hear in those first couple of comments?
Let's see, from Tata Martino, you know, admitting that for 70 of the 90 minutes he thought it was a fairly even contest, even though that without the offensive threat, that was one of the things that he was looking at, to struggle to maintain the level of a team that is better than you are. Talked about match intensity. He said that they created two chances. One was from Cooper from distance. That was a shot on goal. And then in the second half, Jay had the one chance as well. And literally, it was, you know, two dangerous situations. And then it comes back the other way. When you're struggling, it allows us to hurt us. And then going forward, and then they succeed. There are the moments where we're not able to score. 90% of the time, we're not able to respond. And emotionally and soccer-wise, then the level drops, and you can't manage that adversity. Then he was asked if, in his wildest dreams or whatever, did he anticipate it was going to be this difficult coming with this season coming out the way that it has. He says, "No. When you take a new job, there's always optimism and analysis that's attached. Not in his worst nightmares did he think that they would have the start that they've had."
Yeah, I listened to the translator, and it's just one of those things where, you know, he says you fall behind, and 90% of the time that's a lot, right? Or whatever. I don't know the exact comment, but essentially it was once you fall behind 90% of the time.
90% of the time you're not able to respond.
And I know this is like, yeah, genius, thanks for the comment, and I don't mean him, I mean what I'm about to suggest, mm-hmm. is like, then you got to find a way to score when you have the better play. And we've talked about this at times, and I don't know if maybe it's committing more forward and kind of almost
well, but that's what Tata wants. He wants the center backs to come forward and engage. He wants the outside backs to come forward.
It's getting
engage.
To the point here, John, where the risk is irrelevant. The risk of getting forward is almost irrelevant because you're giving up goals anyway. Two goals conceded tonight. You know what I mean?
Like, no, I know where you're going.
If you're getting up and you can't figure out a way to finish, just get more up.
But when you present that as evidence, counselor, mm-hmm. let's walk through this. So when you bring that to the table, one of the things that Tata Martino has been talking about this year is the idea of, I want you, you know, when you're unsuccessful at something, I want you to do that when you're going forward in play.
Right.
I want you to be aggressive. And
make the mistake
right.
that way,
fail
in
forward.
That direction, not make the mistake right. like Latte Latte, make the mistake coming backwards.
Yeah, if you're going to I want you to be aggressive. I want you to get into the play. And, you know, we've seen it with Cooper Sanchez this season, where Cooper has taken to what Tata wants him to do, and Cooper's getting engaged in the play and having the one shot on target. But when you do that, the biggest thing is to do that. And if you have players, if your center backs aren't engaging for whatever reason, or if your outside backs aren't engaging for whatever reason, midfielders aren't going forward for whatever reason, then you're not to the point of failing trying to advance. You've got to advance in order to fail to advance. If you understand what I'm saying here.
Yes.
So that is the biggest thing. It's like, get past that initial idea of it's okay to go forward. and then I want you to be aggressive in this, and then I want you to, you know, then I want you to create issues offensively for, I want you to create offensive, I want you to create issues offensively for the team that you're playing against. So that's the biggest thing here is, like, you've got to get past that first idea of it's okay for me to go forward, and then it's okay for me to fail going forward aggressively. Numbers real quick. 29 touches in the inside the 18 for Atlanta United, 23 for Nashville on the night. So 29 touches in the 18 for Atlanta United. How many big chances did they score?
Score?
Yeah.
Well, that's a very quick zero.
How many big chances did they miss?
Yeah,
same. Zero. So you
I don't know what's considered a big chance.
Well, just you have 29 touches inside the 18, five shots inside the 18, four of those blocked, five off target, and so you had four shots on target. And it was an easy night, pretty much, for Schwaki here. 13 total shots on the night, 29 touches, and you have no big chances. You have no scores and 13 total shots. So that's part of this as well. It's like, how many times are you touching inside the 18? How many shots are you getting? You got more shots on target this time than you did last time against Chicago, mm-hmm. but the result was still the same.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I know we got a break here. We'll come back. At the end of the day, one more guy in the box isn't necessarily the answer. You got to get quality chances to find a way to create up front. I don't think just throwing another guy into the attack is doing that for you either.
Because then you create transition opportunities if you lose possession and you're going up a team like you had tonight, and you see what happens in transition.
All right, when we come back, we'll take a look at what's coming next for Atlanta United. Another multiple match week on the way, including one more home game before heading across the border next weekend. We'll talk about both of those matches coming up here. It is the Full-Time Report. Abe Gordon, John Nelson on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
To the Full-Time Report.
Full-time. Full-time.
On Star 94, Feel Good Throwbacks.
Couple more minutes there of the Tata Martino press conference. I'll ask you about a couple of more comments you took away here in just a moment.
Yep.
It's Abe Gordon, John Nelson of Soccer Down here. Atlanta United wants to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, that are going to donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $2,000. So a couple more thoughts there from Tata before we turn the page to the next couple of games here. What else did you hear there, John?
Oh, let's see. A couple of questions toward the end of it all, and the biggest thing. There were two questions at the end, you know, changing, you know, formations or whatever, things like that. And Tata said he has no intention to change. He has seen evolution in the play and the buildup, but that's not something that they plan to change. And he was also asked what he would say to the fans after what has been happening this season, considering the last handful of years of being frustrated, and he just said that he wanted to apologize to them.
I always love that question because you're not going to get whatever answer you want. I mean, he's not going to come out and tell you whatever you, as a fan, what you want to hear. So, I mean, that's kind of most questions from media members, I guess, to some extent. But, yeah, it's the realism versus what you can actually say at a podium. There's a slight difference.
Well,
there.
And it was also a question that was asked about the moment with Alexi and Daniel Lovitz. And Tata, he said he didn't have a good view and he preferred not to speak on that.
Yeah. He got cracked pretty bad. Shot was off, and it didn't affect the shot, in my opinion. But he got cracked pretty bad, and I was a little bit surprised they didn't give more of a look at it. That's all I can say.
Well, how much time do we have left in the show?
3 minutes.
Yeah, I would go over, and you would be mad. So
we turn the page here. You're still in this run of match compression. Now, it is an MLS match this coming week and not a U.S. Open Cup match, although that is also on the way as well. That date and time has also now been set. But we focus first on Wednesday night. A night game back here in Mercedes-Benz Stadium against New England, and then you got to travel and deal with international travel at that, and it's an early kickoff on Saturday. Yeah,
Toronto's been getting
Toronto.
The matinees this year in Major League Soccer. It's like they get the lunchtime kicks. I don't know. It's like we'll give you the lunchtime kick and you can start our day. That's what happens in Toronto now.
Yeah, so we'll have you covered, but it'll be interesting to see some of the choices, because I think if you're Tata, if you're the organization, you probably make a couple of choices Wednesday night
that are really made for Saturday. And when you talk about the match compression and who's going to play 90 and who's going to start, who's going to come in as a sub, will they turn around for Saturday? I think you kind of have to diagram both matches at the same time a little bit. And forget then diagramming forward for the U.S. Open Cup, which is no longer against MLS Next Pro squads. You're now against Charlotte FC.
In 10 days' time, it's going
to take an effort there. So, look, you've got a lot to consider, I would say, between now and only Wednesday. And you mentioned it with, like, Matias Galarza, right? That's a situation where, as he's asked to be pushed a little bit more forward, one practice, maybe two, you come off of the game, and by the time you get to Wednesday's game, you've maybe had one more practice, maybe two more with him in that situation. And so, again, it's just tough to make. You want to talk about adjustments. You want to talk about changes. Mm-hmm. When you're in a compressed schedule like this, when you have midweek matches like this, it's almost impossible to make any real change in terms of formations and personnel on a significant level, only because you just don't have enough time to get together as a group and really work it into the game plan.
Yeah, and so just as I guess this is the more you know section of the thing.
Yeah.
It's only, you know, where you have the comet, the multi-colors.
Pull back to Kurt. Let's
yeah.
go.
And so just, you know, kind of look at minutes and just kind of monitor and see what's going on. And this is where the physio staff comes in, and they are this is where they earn all of their keep, because they're going to be looking at minutes and looking at
with respect, nothing Cooper's numbers tell me. He's young enough that he can just get back out there.
I know. And you know,
he's not part of
this
discussion.
And the younger players. And,
of course.
And Jay Fortune, Matt Edwards, you know, Saba comes in, gives you 15. Pedro Amador comes in, gives you 20 or so. So just keep an eye on minutes in this run, because you go from here, you welcome in New England. Then after that, you go to Toronto. And then you have Open Cup in Charlotte. And so that's all of the stuff that you have going on right now that you've got to kind of juggle with everyone going forward. New England won today. They beat Columbus 2-1. And so you have the offense with Tergeman and Carlos Hill and Luca Langoni. And that's coming into town also. So just, you know, the more you know, just kind of keep an eye on minutes. But obviously this is where the physio staff earns their keep with making everyone as sharp as they can be, and how many minutes can you give, and do you start, and those kinds of things. And all the young guys, like I said, Matt Edwards, Jay Fortune, Cooper Sanchez, Will Riley, keep an eye on them as well going forward.
And Jay's kind of the only one that's really dealing with triple match compression, just because you're dealing with his performance in U.S. Open Cup and tonight. Mm-hmm. Most of the guys that you're looking at from tonight moving into Wednesday didn't have much to do in U.S. Open Cup, maybe second half subs, stuff like that. So he's the one I kind of got my eye on. But again, you deal with age. He did come out tonight, didn't play a full 90, so maybe that does make him available Wednesday, and then you'll figure out Saturday from there. But you kind of have to have a little bit of a mindset of what you want to do each night. One sets up the other. All right, that's going to do it here for the full-time report. Join us again 6:30 on Wednesday, April 22nd, for our next broadcast, as Atlanta United will take on the New England Revolution. Special thanks to Dom Cherosky in studio. And to Jake Cook, on-site engineer. For Mike and Jason,
the voices
of Atlanta United. And Madison Cruz.
Thank you, Maddie.
And John Nelson of Soccer Down
Thank
Here.
Thank you, John.
I'm Abe Gordon. Once again, the final today, Nashville SC 2, Atlanta United 0, on Star 94.
Time report with Abe Gordon. A complete
right,
wrap-up of today's
to
Atlanta United game on Star 94, Atlanta's upbeat variety.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare.
I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.